Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with producer Rosemary Brandt. Rose and I would like to welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It's our midweek edition. It's Wednesday, May 28th, 2014. Hope you're having a good week so far, a shortened work week. The Buckmaster Show is live each weekday. We are here 12:04 to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI. And we live stream the show at buckmastershow.com. That's my website. And at the station's website, kvoi.com. And then, of course, we make it very easy for you to hear the program on your schedule, really anywhere in the world, anytime at buckmastershow.com. We have all of our shows archived, really since we launched this venture back in January of 2011. We'll get things rolling with a newsmaker interview. Pima County Supervisor from District 5, Democrat Richard Elias, joining me in studio. 30 minutes past the hour, our monthly segment on companion animal care. And then we'll close out the show with our blogger beat segment, David Safir, who covers education, among other things, for the Tucson Weekly on their blog site, will be joining us at about 45 minutes past the hour. So as usual, we have a tightly packed hour. The Buckmaster Show live line is open for you, 790-2040. And of course, Facebook is also a possibility. We'd love you to join us on Facebook, and that's pretty easy to find the show. Just go to Bill Buckmaster. We welcome now Supervisor Richard Elias. Supervisor Elias, how are you today?
I'm great, Bill, and just glad to be here with you and talking to your listeners in Southern Arizona.
And Richard Elias is always a good sport about the calls that come in, pro or con or neutral, whatever. Richard is game to answer pretty much anything county-related at 790-2040. Let's begin with, while I was away taking a little vacation last week, you and your colleagues were meeting to tentatively approve the spending package for the next 12 months. And of course, Pima County operates like most governmental bodies around the country on a fiscal year. That means the year is quickly closing out, and New Year's Day for the fiscal year begins July 1st.
Absolutely. And tough budget year, a lot of concerns about keeping the level of services at the appropriate level for our community and for our state, working hard at that, but also recognizing that we face incredible challenges here into the future. So this is a budget that reflects all of that, to be quite honest with you, Bill.
What about the budget as far as funding in part a 62%, 62-cent increase in the primary property tax rate, not 62%.
Correct.
Yeah.
We have continued to see the property values in Tucson and Pima County slump. We're pretty much at the end of that now, and we're reaching into a year where we've lost a little bit more of the property base, property tax base, but we are very optimistic about next year. What happens, though, over time is that pre-recession, we did a very good job of saving money and putting money away in the rainy day fund. We had about $70 million in that rainy day fund at one point, and we have basically spent that down, maintaining the level of services and keeping taxes at a reasonable level. Valuations lag 2 years behind what's actually happening out there in the community. So what you see are the effects of that long-term recession, and the reality that 60% of our money goes to public safety.
Yeah, but the critics say Pima County's on a wild spending spree. You hear this, when you hear that, how do you react?
That's absurd. If you look at the facts, in the last 5 years, we've lost over $500 million out of the county budget, and we've reduced taxes along that time. In addition to losing that $500 million worth of revenue, we've also lost 1,400 employees. We've done a good job at living within our means. By state law, we're mandated to pass a balanced budget. We've done that every year. We've been very careful to protect the public safety bubble that we have here in Tucson and Southern Arizona. We are that last line of defense when it comes to the courts, the jails, county attorney, indigent defense. It's a huge system that needs to be in place in a strong manner, especially during bad times. That said, public health issues remain. The $15 million a year that we're spending at Keno has been an intelligent use of money. We're saving people's lives. The hospital's starting to make a little bit of money there. We need to continue on in that vein. We are going to continue on in that vein. As we continue to work on the budget here over the next few weeks, we're also looking at a number of compensation packages for our employees, because quite honestly, they're getting the heck beat out of them. And they pay the same for a loaf of bread as everybody else in this town does. And so looking at some ways to balance things out and make sure that we maintain the level of services we really need to have.
All right. Richard Elias is with me in studio. And as usual, whenever Richard's on the program, the phones ring. And that's great, because Richard wants, this is an interactive program. Richard wants to hear from people. And I think because we're talking about property taxes, probably I think we should go to Kathy first, and then we'll, Matt, you'll be up next. But Kathy, you are up first. Go ahead, Kathy.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Supervisor Elias. I'm a county employee almost 10 years, and I'm. Am I correct that 62 cents actually equals about a 14% increase? That's what I've been hearing.
It's about 13%. It comes out to about $50 a year on $100,000 of assessed value.
That's quite a lot. I did hear you just comment that county employees have been beat up, and as one of those employees, I mean, you know, the cost of living raises, if any, have been basically minuscule.
That's true.
The price of food is up 20%. At least gas hasn't been below $3. I don't know how county employees could even absorb this 13% property tax increase for Pima County employees that actually live in the county. So, and that's a pretty substantial voting block of thousands of people, I believe. So, you know,
it's about 5,500 people now.
So that, it, yeah, it's tough. I mean, you said that the county, Richard, you've pared down about 1,400 employees over
That's
the
correct.
Years, but the folks who are left, they're not making a lot of money in many cases, to say
no,
the
very
least.
Often, that's an they make $10 an hour.
Yeah. Is there any talk about a little bit of pay raise for
Oh,
these
yeah.
people?
Well, yeah. That's what I was just saying. Yeah. We have a whole set of compensation packages that we're looking at passing, including one that would be across the board for all county employees, but then also looking at some specific sectors of county employees that have had some extra special hard times competing in the open market. So we understand that. Obviously, I've been an advocate for our employees ever since I got elected, and I'm proud of the work that I've done on that. I will continue to do that. We did not have any layoffs during the recession. The employees that we lost were through attrition, and we worked very hard to make sure that people kept their jobs. And we're going to continue to support our employees and make sure that they're adequately compensated for the hard work that they do.
All right, back to the live line. Matt, you are with Supervisor Richard Elias. Go ahead, Matt.
Yes, Supervisor Elias. I was at the Rotary Club meeting with the county administrator and the mayor at the roundtable. One of the questions they asked, which was relevant to this discussion, is what services between the county and the city, is there any room for consolidation or joint efforts that can save both entities money? And the mayor pointed out that there's, you know, he was looking for ideas on purchasing of bulk items. Certainly the fleets for the sheriff's department and the city could be bought bulk. Any thoughts about saving money for both entities? Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Matt. I appreciate your call. I would say that in addition to purchasing and operating our fleet, Parks and Rec is always something that we talk about, although county parks are very rural in nature and natural resource parks, whereas none of the cities are. But still, there's some synergy there. The other area I think where we could still make some gains would be in the magistrate courts and the justice courts. Huge operations. Matt, last year, I think our justice courts conducted about 200,000 cases. I'm sure magistrates, city magistrates, is three times that. I think we could find some way of creating some synergy there, even if we're not in the same building.
All right, before we take the break, let's go to Jim on the Buckmaster Show live line. I believe. Who is on there? We have Kelly on there. Go ahead, Kelly.
Yeah, hi there. As far as the property tax issue, I own four properties. I'm unemployed. My income is derived from three rental properties. Of the three rental properties, two are not rented. I just had a renter leave in January. That property, I've had people come out and look. I reduced it $100. I just reduced it yesterday, another $100. I'm having trouble renting them. And now you're going to take even more money out of my pocket. This is my only income. You're going to take more money out of my pocket and by raising my property taxes. Compare property taxes in Pima County to property taxes in Maricopa County, property taxes in Yavapai County. I have a friend in Prescott. He's got a $500,000 home. He pays less in property taxes than I pay on a $250,000 home.
Okay, thanks, Kelly. Richard?
Kelly, very different set of business lines that we conduct compared to those counties that you identified. I'd really appreciate it if you give me a call at my office, 724-8126. That's 724-8126. We could talk about this. But I would tell you honestly, Kelly, quality of life and services are important to us as well, and important to those renters that are going to be helping you keep alive. So all a part of an important set of business interests.
Wow, the time is flying by. It's 12:17 already on the Buckmaster Show. We need to take our first break, and gladly so, because we want you to hear from the people who support this program. Richard Elias sticking around for another segment, and we'll be right back Wednesday on Buckmaster.
This is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. When you step out of your shower, you expect to be refreshed and, of course, cleaner than when you stepped in, right? The fact is, hard water builds up on your shower doors, stalls, fixtures, faucets, and on you. Let's be honest. If it's on your shower door and fixtures, it's on your skin, your hair, appliances, and plumbing too. What a mess. But take it from me, save yourself a lot of trouble, money, and headaches by saying, "Hey, Culligan man, Culligan has been solving water concerns for over 60 years. Our Culligan representative will do a system evaluation to ensure you get the right solution for your home and family." It doesn't matter whether you have city or well water, Culligan can make your water better with an easy solution that fits any budget. Try a Culligan water system for only $9.95 per month on the first three rental payments with an annual service agreement. Call us at 792-9700 or visit us at arizonaculligan.com. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook. Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Another business trip? Why don't you just drive instead of fly?
Well, nobody brings me snacks or drinks in my car. Very seldom do I get to watch a first-run movie or take a nap while driving.
No, seriously. It must be much cheaper to drive.
Not really. I checked out TIA's cost comparison calculator. Flying from Tucson isn't just convenient. It can actually save money.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Welcome back. Midweek edition, Buckmaster Richard Elias, Pima County Supervisor, Democrat District 5, is with us. And so far, we haven't gotten to topic B yet, what I wanted to discuss in the agenda, in the half hour, about Rosemont Mine. But I want to honor the callers, because, Richard, you were always a good sport about this, and you want to hear from folks, too. David is up next. Go ahead on the Buckmaster Show live line. David.
Yeah, I had a comment about taxes going up, and the reason why they are is the spending is going up, and mainly on capital improvements for new development. Marana's going like a cancer, and they have no property tax. Somebody's having to pay for Marana's growth, and you look up, they had to do a massive expansion of the Iron Road treatment plant, mainly to accommodate the growth of Marana. The county has had to spend massive amounts of money on north-south, widening north-south roads to accommodate the building boom and the Tortolita foothills. And this 1 2-mile stretch of a road is in the paper a while back. It cost the taxpayers $20 million. You see where the spending is, and that's what drives the taxes up.
Okay, David, thank you very much. Comment, Supervisor Elias.
Well, actually, sewer improvements are paid for with revenue that's gained from user fees. So those are based on people's bills. And the work that we needed to do to Ina Road was really related to regulatory issues that the county had not kept up with for more than 20 years. That's denitrification of our system that is now in place, and we figured out a way to pay for it. So that's not a source of property tax issues. You're right, absolutely. Paying for the cost of yielded development in the 90s. The Board of Supervisors back in those days did not provide appropriately for their residents, and consequently, people who live there now are paying the price for it, and the rest of us are paying the bills. We've got to remember that as things start to improve, that we have to be careful, make sure development pays for itself, and make sure that we provide a good level of service to people in the other core services that the county offers.
Josh is up next on the Buckmaster Show live line with Supervisor Richard Elias. Go ahead, Josh.
Hi, Supervisor Elias. I talked to you before with the whole District 1 money thing.
Sure.
My question is about the hospital. You just said it's making money, but it still needs the subsidies. Those don't make sense.
It doesn't make sense, but there are a couple nuances that I think you have to understand, Josh, because your comment is a good one. The truth is that the medical training that goes on at Keno increases I'm not a keynote at U of A South, increases the cost of the overall operation. But frankly, we don't have enough doctors here in the state of Arizona. When they do their residency here in Arizona, when they do their residency at U of A South campus, they stay here. And that has helped the state tremendously. Maricopa County and Phoenix still does not have a medical school, so that remains the problem there. The other thing is the identity of U of A at South Campus as being a former county hospital means that it's going to have a higher level of uncompensated debt. And if you start to look at that, the massive growth of that uncompensated debt took place exactly at the same time the state legislature reduced the number of people on access. So they created a crisis here in the hospitals throughout the state, but it's especially magnified at hospitals that have an identity of being in lower income neighborhoods like U of A South. Fortunately, the partnership between U of A North and U of A South has helped to sustain a major part of the system that has the only trauma centers of great significance here in Southern Arizona. We are saving people's lives. Last time the county ran a hospital, our losses were in excess of $34 million. We've got it down to 15, and we're maintaining a great base of service there. Absolutely critical to the acute care health issues in Southern Arizona.
How big a deal is the fish and wildlife taking a fresh look at the impact of really 8 imperiled species on the proposed Rosemont mine?
This is huge, Bill. There's a number of significant technical issues remaining to be answered in Rosemont's mitigation plan, water being the biggest one, of course, and air quality being the second biggest one. Now we have a whole new level of endangered species issues that need to be addressed by every agency, not just the Army Corps, not just the EPA, Fish and Wildlife, the Coronado National Forest. This has put the thing in a whole different kind of league. We're looking at some more time passing before those permits even get close to being issued. Rosemont's funding, their money, that they actually own is going down significantly. We need to be careful here. There's been some hostile takeover efforts on Rosemont as well. We don't know what that would do to the mitigation plan.
Yeah, but that's what's interesting, this thing with Hud Bay, the Toronto, Ontario, Canada-based group that is involved in the hostile takeover. And there was just a small item in today's paper. I guess they have extended the effort, the hostile takeover effort. I mean, I don't know where this is all going to sort out.
This tells me that Augusta's on the ropes. And who knows what you're going to do when you're desperate and on the ropes. The mitigation plan obviously has serious faults in it that the Army Corps has articulated, that the EPA has articulated. Those permits are not forthcoming anytime soon. Sergio Avila the other day in the paper reiterated the fact that the Rosemont proposal is so ill-conceived that it's hard to fathom it getting approved. I thought that was a very articulate way of describing the current situation, and seeing that ocelot here begs the question about endangered species and the richness of the biodiversity of the Rosemont Valley and what that really means and the destruction of it and what it means to the Sky Islands in southern Arizona, as well reaching deep down into our neighboring country as well, in Mexico. Absolutely, yeah. Fascinating.
Yeah, it's interesting to see how it will all play out. And, of course, a little bit of history for folks who don't remember. The Pima County Board of Supervisors went on record unanimously originally when this whole proposal came up. I think it's been about 7 years. Of course, yeah. Ann Day retired, left the board, and Allie Miller coming on board. Allie is for the mine, but still the majority the board on record against the Rosemont mine. And do you believe history will be on your side on this one, Richard Elias?
Well, I'm hopeful. I believe that there's more scrutiny attached to this proposal than there has been to any other in the history of the United States. So I think we're really at a turning point here in Arizona history, in the nation, and our policy towards mineral exploration. We see it coming apart at the seams all over the place, and Rosemont seems to be the place that is the focal point for a lot of the decision-making that will deeply affect us and set precedent into the future.
All right, Richard Elias, a very good half hour, and one of the callers did want to contact you. Do you want to give out again your office number for us?
Absolutely. Please give us a call at 520-724-8126.
And you do return phone calls.
I do return phone calls personally.
All right. Richard, thanks a lot. Hope the rest of the week is good for you. Thanks for being on the program.
Thanks, Bill. Glad to have you back here in Tucson.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Jerry!
What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now.
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready.
Okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support.
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us to get Cox Business.
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Switch to Cox Business Internet and Voice for only $99 a month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Plus, get a 30-day money-back guarantee and free professional installation with a 3-year agreement. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Ends 8/31/14. Price excludes taxes, fees, and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Visit coxbusiness.com for internet speed options and details. Actual speeds vary. Limited 30-day money-back guarantee. Exclusions and other restrictions apply.
UA Biosphere 2's new ocean gallery and its large viewing windows give tour visitors a look under the surface of the existing Biosphere 2 ocean. Within the ocean gallery is the new Return to the Sea of Cortez exhibit, which chronicles the storied 1940 journey of author John Steinbeck and marine biologist Ed Ricketts to the Gulf. Experience this remarkable journey for yourself. Come visit Biosphere 2 today. Info at b2science.org.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Well, Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, our midweek edition, and we want to remind you that we're here 12:04 to 1 each weekday on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, and we make it very easy for you. We live stream our show at buckmastershow.com, so if you want to check out any of our programs on the web, the best way to do it is to go to buckmastershow.com, and we really have all of the Buckmaster Show programs archived for you, actually since we began this venture back in the first week of January in 2011 with the Buckmaster Show. So we've got really every show that we have done over the past 3.5 years. Once a month here, we focus on animal care issues. The segment is about specialty animal care presented by Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson, an award-winning facility open 24/7 and recognized as the best place to bring your sick or injured pet. Located at North La Cunata Drive and West River Road and on the web at vscot.com. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson, specialty vets for special pets. Joining us on this month's animal care segment is Dr. Elizabeth Williams. Dr. Williams, an emergency veterinary medicine specialist at Veterinary Specialty Center Tucson. Dr. Williams, how are you today?
I'm good, thank you. How are you doing?
Doing very well. And a couple of months ago, we were talking here on our monthly animal care segment about urinary issues in cats. And as it would be, the irony of it, about a week later, I had an issue, a urinary issue with Princess, the Buckmaster Show cat. So today I thought it would be good to talk about this particular issue, urinary issues in dogs. Pretty common issue, Dr. Williams?
It is. It is. I hope that Princess is doing okay.
Much better. Thank
good,
you.
Good, good. It is similar and yet also can be different, obviously with dogs and cats being a little bit different as well. I think the trickiest thing is catching when they're actually straining or having difficulties urinating.
And what should someone do if they see the dog straining to urinate?
I think the most important thing would be trying to get them to their veterinarian as soon as possible, because the sooner that we can try to address things, the better chance we have of not having significant complications. At the same time, I always prepare owners to kind of have answers to the best of their ability to some of the different questions that the veterinary staff is going to ask them, such as when was the last time they remember their dog urinating normally? Has it been over 24-hour period? Looking to see if there's any obvious blood in the urine, because sometimes that can help the veterinarian to kind of figure out what could be going on.
Well, you know, it perhaps might be a little easier with the cat because of the litter box. You know, it's easier to kind of monitor the way the urine flow and whether or not they're straining. That sometimes with the dog, it might be a little more difficult. What can cause this problem in a dog?
There's quite a few things, actually. I think the most common that people think of would be stones, most commonly being bladder stones. And typically when there's stones in the bladder, it's not really an obstruction or a blockage. It's more the inflammation that is caused by those stones that makes the patient or the dog feel like they have to urinate more frequently. Sometimes those stones, if they're small enough, can move out of the bladder into the urethra, which is what kind of empties out of the bladder, and they can actually cause a blockage where the dog cannot urinate, and that becomes even more of an emergency. Some other things that are not quite as common, you know, we've seen tumors in bladders, unfortunately, that can interfere. In male dogs, they can have prostates that can become enlarged and push down on the urethra and not allow them to urinate. And then, you know, we think of female dogs, they're more prone to getting urinary tract infections. And again, it's not causing a blockage, but it's that inflammation that makes them feel like they have to urinate more frequently.
So, Dr. Williams, what would the protocol be when an animal, when the owner presents that this is the issue, when is the animal is brought to the veterinary specialty center? Well, how do you diagnose these conditions?
I think our most common thing is definitely trying to get a sample of urine. And sometimes we can do that by just catching the urine if we're lucky enough to get a sterile sample of urine. And the veterinarians can do that for sure. We're not expecting owners to do that. That sterile sample, not only can we look for signs of inflammation and possibly bacteria to kind of lead us down that path of infection, but we can send that urine out for a culture. In male dogs, especially if we're concerned at all that their prostate might be enlarged, the veterinarian can actually on physical exam, by doing a rectal exam, sometimes can feel that enlarged prostate. And sometimes we can actually feel a stone if it's in the lower part of the urethra causing a blockage. More commonly for stones, we're actually recommending x-rays of the abdomen, looking for the presence of stones either in the bladder or the urethra. Of course, not all stones, unfortunately, show up on x-rays, so sometimes we're left with taking the patient then and having our radiologist or our internal medicine department perform an ultrasound. And we can look for other stones. We can also look for possible tumors in the bladder. And even if we did feel an enlarged prostate, we can kind of further assess that as well.
Are the urinary tract stones fairly common?
Surprisingly, they definitely can be. It really depends. Sometimes we see certain breeds that can get stones, and sometimes it just like in people, it can be diet-related and things like that. So it's hard to tell which patients sometimes are going to get the stones.
Well, is surgery an option, or are there machines like with the humans, you know, these machines that break up the stones?
So that's not as available in dogs. At this time, surgery is definitely the most common treatment that we think of when stones, especially in the bladder, are diagnosed. And it's something called a cystotomy. Especially in patients who the stones have already moved out into the urethra and created a blockage or an obstruction, our concern with not doing the surgery is that those stones potentially could continue to cause obstruction. But there are some patients who, and this is kind of based on the veterinarian and what their recommendations are, that might benefit from having a specific diet to try to dissolve the stones.
Dr. Elizabeth Williams with us, emergency veterinary medical specialist at Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson. You know, before we talk a little bit more about stones, what about these bladder infections? In humans, it's more common, I believe, for bladder infections in women than men. How about with dogs?
It's actually very similar. Females are more prone than males, and it's really a confirmation or just how their urinary tract system is made up. They have a shorter urethra, again, which is what empties out of the bladder. And so it's not as much of a distance for bacteria to travel to then set up an infection within the bladder itself. So we definitely see infections more commonly in females than males.
You know, when you get back to the stones issue, the prescription that would be written by the vet, is that necessarily something then that would have to be taken for the life of the animal?
It depends on what the diet is for. So, again, there are certain patients where veterinarians, such as myself, we might recommend trying a disillusion diet or putting a patient on a diet for maybe 8 to 12 weeks to try to dissolve stones that are in their bladder. This would not be a diet that we recommend the patients on for life. They're not really good maintenance diets. But there are other diets for dogs, let's say, who do end up going to surgery, and we get the confirmation of what type of stones they are, because they'll collect those stones at surgery and then send them to a lab to have an analysis performed. And if we can confirm the chemical makeup of those stones, then there are prescription diets that veterinarians can put these patients on to try to prevent further stones from forming.
You know, the whole issue with diets, and we'll have to do in the future, perhaps we can do a whole segment just on cat and dog diets, because there, as you know, Dr. Williams, the variety of foods available for sale for our animal friends is just so overwhelming. And I'm wondering, what is the best way to perhaps research this and go about perhaps a diet that could prevent these stones from happening?
My recommendation would be always trying to go back to your primary care veterinarian. Most primary care veterinarians will have a number of different prescription diets in stock, and they're going to have, they're the best source really to help figure out. One, it's where the owners can continue to get that stock of diet, so it's really beneficial, because when they are prescription diets, they're not something that you can just buy over the counter. And then it is based on, you know, what the underlying condition is. Unfortunately, I have some patients who not only have urinary problems, but have other underlying issues as well, whether it's weight management or liver problems or things like that. And there are other diets for that. So sometimes you do have to play that balancing act of, okay, which diet is going to be the best for both or these number or variety of conditions that patients have.
Before we let you go, Dr. Williams, a couple of quick questions again about dogs straining to urinate. Is it mainly the older dogs that have this issue, or can it afflict really any age animal?
I think most commonly we consider the older or the middle-aged dogs. There are a few conditions that actually can affect younger puppies. There's a congenital disease in younger puppies that actually affects their liver, something called a liver shunt or a portosystemic shunt, and that actually can cause some of these puppies to develop particular stones. And so even young puppies, it's good to look for them having difficulties urinating. Unneutered male puppies who kind of have their hormones still surging sometimes from a little bit of overexcitation can traumatize their urethra and have difficulties. So we think mostly it's, you know, middle-aged and older, but it definitely can affect the younger patients as well.
Well, it is a serious issue, and I guess it could be life-threatening, couldn't it?
It definitely can be, especially most commonly with, you know, when we get to that point of causing an obstruction or a blockage where these patients cannot urinate. You know, we can see electrolyte abnormalities, their potassium can really increase, they can go into kidney failure. You know, in worst case scenarios, we've seen some patients where their bladder or their urethra can actually become damaged, and they can start leaking urine into their abdomen. So it's definitely something, as soon as you see a problem or you're at all concerned, I strongly recommend getting your dog into your veterinarian.
Dr. Williams, thank you very much for being with us on the Buckmaster Show. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Dr. Elizabeth Williams, emergency veterinary medical specialist at Veterinary Specialty Center Tucson. They're located at North La Cañada Drive and West River Road and on the web at vscot.com. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson, specialty vets for special pets.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kevin Lehman. I've got one wife, five kids, two grandchildren, and I'm afraid I live in a place where some of those scorpions get in the house, and I'm here to report one of the smartest calls I ever made was to my friend Shelby Hawkins at Five Star Termite and Pest Control. Guess what? The only scorpion the Lehmans ever see is a dead one. Call.
We're Five Star Pest Control, and we know what bugs you.
Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, make a great getaway for a weekend or longer. It's just 3 hours or so from Tucson and 15 degrees cooler to get to an area with so much to offer, from hiking, camping, exploring downtown historic Silver City, or just relaxing in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay and visit in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico.
Hi, I'm Steve Christie. I've served as an RTA board member since 2009 and through last year as its chairman. The RTA continues to be a most successful regional effort, with the RTA and our member jurisdictions completing so far more than 540 construction projects to reduce congestion, increase our safety, and improve crosstown mobility. As part of the original Citizens Advisory Committee, I'm proud of our citizen-driven plan as well as the RTA's accomplishments. We deliver, we promise. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
Tucson Desert Art Museum. Tucson's newest art museum is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tankerville Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
This portion of the Buckmaster Show is brought to you by our friends in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Silver City named as one of the top 20 small towns worth visiting in 2014 by Smithsonian Magazine. They had a cover story in April, the April edition, listing these top 20 small towns, and Silver City made the list, so I definitely feel it is worth your while to take the three and a half hour journey east of Tucson up to Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. And you can find out more about all the wonderful things to do in the area, including hiking in the Gila National Wilderness and great places to stay like Fayetteville Hot Springs at Southwest New Mexico. That's spelled out .org. David Safir is a blogger columnist for the Tucson Weekly, and David is our blogger beat correspondent contributor who joins us once a month on the program. David, how are you?
I'm doing well, Bill. Thanks.
One of your areas of interest, of course, is education. And while I was away on vacation, the vote came in on the Sunnyside School District recall, and I guess it was pretty overwhelming, huh?
It was, yeah. It was a much anticipated election because people have been talking about it, and there's been all kinds of controversy around the superintendent, Manuel Izquierdo. And really, he wasn't on the ballot, but it was a referendum on him because the two people who were up for recall were both people who had voted to extend his contract right after another district refused to take him, and there were all kinds of questions about him. And the election ended up being almost identical for both of the new candidates. They won by a 4-1 margin, and that's a real mandate, or either it's a mandate for them or a sense that people who are interested really don't like the kind of stewardship they've seen from Superintendent Izquierdo.
And what happens now with Superintendent Izquierdo?
Well, nobody knows. He's got a 2-year contract, and to buy him out of that contract costs $500,000. That's written into his contract. So right now, there's basically going to be a 4-1 margin as of the beginning of June when this is all ratified by the county. And at that point, the people have got to decide, is he worth working with, or does it make sense, is it actually cost effective to spend an extra $500,000 to get rid of him now rather than 2 years from now, or it's going to be something close to 2 years. And by starting over fresh, actually making things better. And to some extent, I talked to one person who was saying, listen, if we get rid of Manuel Izquierdo, who is causing problems with trust issues, we've got a better chance of passing the bond that we haven't passed for years. So it could end up being a plus financially, too. It's very, very complicated.
He's a very controversial figure, this gentleman.
He is. You know, I can't say I know him firsthand, and I know everything I've learned from others, but he doesn't seem like a trustworthy character. I've heard from people within the district that there's a level of fear that either you're on his side or you're in trouble because you're not on his side. I've heard a lot about patronage and nepotism, where people get contracts or jobs based on who they know. And he seems to be the kind of a guy who is out for himself rather than out for the best interests of the district. They're not necessarily incompatible, but he's not a trustworthy character so far as I can tell.
So the board, the new board, the newly constituted board, meet their next meeting, I guess. Well, first of all, last night there was a meeting that went very late, a closed-door session,
right,
till about 1:30 in the morning, I understand. Who knows if they were talking about this buyout issue.
Well, whether they were talking about it or not, the important thing is they didn't vote on it. Mm-hmm. Because, and this was what a lot of people were concerned about, that people who were voted out by a large margin would say, okay, we got one final moment of glory and we're going to enact this and enact that. And they would have had a potentially 3-2 majority to do it. But instead, the only thing they enacted, and it was unanimous, and it was kind of just a wonderful thing, where they named a park in honor of Command Sergeant Major Martin Barreras, who I guess died in Afghanistan, and everybody wanted to do that. So they left rather nobly, I would say, and left a clean slate for the other people rather than leaving votes that would have to be reversed, which is good.
David Safir is with us. It's our Blogger Beat segment, and I want to talk a little bit about public schools. There's a study out, David, talking about public schools really outperforming private schools. Was this a national study?
Well, yeah, you got to hang on to your hat, people out there who believe that public schools are failures and private schools and charter schools are the answer. Because this is a study, yes, it is a national study by a couple of University of Chicago educators out of the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign, and they just wrote a book, I guess last November, that it was published. It was called The Public School Advantage: Why Public Schools Outperform Private Schools. And what they did is they looked at the data on the best test we have. It's the NAEP test, the National Assessment of Education Progress. And everybody on the left and the right and the center says that if there's a test you're going to believe, this is the gold standard. And they said when you compare similar students from private schools and public district schools in math, that's all they looked at, in math, the public school kids outperformed the private school kids, even though the public school kids began lower in the earlier grades.
And it only looked at math.
It only looked at math, and they've been criticized for that. But they said, listen, that's our area of specialty. And besides, math is going to be less affected by language problems. For instance, English second language people are going to affect scores on reading and writing. But in math, that effect is going to be lesser. So, you know, this wasn't surprising to me. I know a lot of people see this and say, what, that must be wrong. They must have cooked the books. Mm-hmm. But you go back to the George W. Bush administration, two times, they studied with their education department to see which performs better, public schools or charter, which are also public schools but not district, and private schools. And both time they said, well, it's kind of a wash. You know, fourth grade better in math for one, eighth grade better in reading for the other, and back and forth. But they said there's basically not that much difference, which should be obvious that that's true. There's nothing about the district schools that makes them somehow worse than charters or private schools. Nothing about those schools that makes them somehow better. And study after study after study has said, well, this one looks a little bit better. The last time, charter schools looked a little bit better than district schools in a national study that came out of Stanford. But the time before, the district schools looked a little bit better than the charter schools. So people who are saying we've got to throw away these public schools, wrong. You don't have to throw away these public schools. They're doing as well as other schools, given the students there.
Quick plug for your video segment on education.
Oh, yeah, that was kind of fun. A group put together a game that looks like Candyland. It's actually called Charterland. And what they do is they show some of the stumbling blocks that parents can sometimes come up with in trying to get their kids into charter schools to demonstrate that charter schools can be selective, even though they let everybody in. For instance, if a charter school doesn't have an ELL program for kids who English isn't the first language, those kids aren't going to be there. If a charter school doesn't have a free lunch program, well, families that depend on free lunches, their kid is less likely to be there. They don't offer transportation. That's not necessarily their fault. But in fact, if you live close to a district school and far away from a charter school, unless you have transportation, you're not going to go there. And on and on and on, all kinds of small and larger things that mean that charter schools select out a certain type of student that gives them a slight edge in terms of the type of students who are there and therefore in terms of their performance. It's very interesting.
David Safier, thanks for being with us. We'll look for your work in the Tucson Weekly. Thanks.
Thank you, Bill.
Adelita Grijalva, by the way, will be our guest on Friday. She is the president of the board of the Tucson Governing Board, and she'll be the guest on the Friday Focus interview right here on Buckmaster. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, supplied by Culligan. Better water, pure and simple. Culligan for all your year-round residential and commercial water needs. Wake Up Tucson, 6 to 8 tomorrow morning. The Daily Double Show with Chris DeSimone from 8 to 9. And a new local talk show begins 4 o'clock, 4 Tucson at 4, I believe is the name. That starts Monday here on KVOI. On behalf of producer Rosemary Brandt, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.